You're listening to the VFC Sermon Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download our free VFC Thomasville app, where you can access all of our messages, sermon notes, announcements, and small group lessons. Our app is the easiest way to keep up with everything going on here at VFC. We hope that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus and encourages you to belong, believe, and become.
Good morning. Y'all glad you're here? I'm glad you're here. So you should be glad you're here, right? When I was in college, I had an interesting experience. We had a Bible study group that met on Sunday nights. And at that point, I was dating Tiffany. One of my really good friends, who's still a really good friend, who's actually an elder here at the church, Garrett Gladstone, was with us. I keep him close because he knows too much about me to have him just out there. We had finished our Bible study group, and we were like, hey, well, let's go see a movie. So there was a really popular movie that was out at the time, and we just heard it was good, didn't really know anything about it. And guys, it ended up being a really profane movie. There's just a lot of language in it. There was just some sexual stuff that was just not okay. We had no idea. But in the middle of watching that movie, I felt so convicted, honestly, more than I would if it had been like me and, let's say Garrett. I was like, as I was thinking about it, I asked the Lord, I was like, what's going on? And he said, the church is at the movies. We had taken our group, our gathering, and then we had just taken our gathering into that place. And when we were confronted with godlessness, we could just tell. And everyone there, we all felt it. We were like, this is uncomfortable. Because we are the church. And that's what we've been talking about this whole series, is the fact that we are the church. We have defined the word church. It's based on the Greek word ekklesia. It is an intentional gathering of people who follow Jesus. That's what it is, whether it's a lot of people or a few people. Jesus said, if two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And you are assembling and gathering as a church. So the first week, we talked about church family. Church family, we are a gathering of different people who prioritize Jesus over our differences. Amen. We're very different from each other, right? Start talking to someone, start asking them questions, you'll realize, well, I don't think like that. Well, that's okay, because we're all prioritizing Jesus over our distinctions. In this church family, one of the things that we do is we gather. Hey, congratulations, you're here. We're gathering. There are many ways that we gather, though. We see that Jesus had a group of three he gathered with, his closest disciples. He had the 12. That was his spiritual family that he did life with and traveled with. He had 70 that he sent out in ministry, and that's kind of a ministry group that we all should have. He had 120 in the upper room when he poured out his Holy Spirit and had the first church service. Then he appeared to over 500 after he had resurrected. These are all churches. These are all gatherings. These are all intentional gatherings of believers for different reasons. I don't know if you, we don't talk about this a lot because, like I said earlier in the service, I don't like hype, but I don't know that you realize VFC is not just a single solitary church building that sits on the corner of 19 and 202 in Thomasville, Georgia. VFC, our church, is actually a network of over 100 churches on four continents with an average weekly attendance of 2,000 to 3,000 people. That's who VFC is. Now, you guys come and we, you know, we have who we have here. That's awesome. But like, you need to understand, we have brothers and sisters in Christ overseas, all over the place, who have already met today. We're last. and we are planning on planting more churches in other countries and other continents as well. And so that's super exciting to me. See, we, even this gathering is not the only gathering that is your church family. And that's super excited to me. So church family. Then we talked about church activity. That was the second message. Hey, when we gather, what do? Just look at each other awkwardly? Hey, no, we do stuff. We do stuff. And that church activity looks like Bible study, fellowship, eating. I like that one. Let's just pause there for a second. Okay, and then after eating, we've got praying. We've got supernatural ministry. We've got helping others. We've got worshiping the Lord. We have receiving new believers. All of that is detailed in a little passage in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. You can read. Those are the things that the early church did. And so we should be doing the same things. Now, just so you know, when I'm choosing what to preach and I'm picking out sermon series and I'm thinking about, you know, what I want to share with you guys, sometimes things end up on the cutting room floor. I just want to let you know, in addition to church activity and church family, I'd thought about teaching on church history. You know, the church has a great history of helping people. Colleges and universities started as religious institutions. Most hospitals started because of the church. Orphanages. All these things are due to the church. The church also has a really bad history as well of abusing the name of God and doing things, attaching the name of Jesus to stuff that Jesus would never do. And so, you know, we have to ask ourselves, which part of history are we adding to? The good or the bad? Another thing I thought about sharing about that is just not going to be shared about during this series, and that's okay, is church legacy. Church legacy. You know, VFC's been going on for around 27 years. We're about 27 years old. We're an angsty 20-something trying to find his place in the world. And we've, you know, we've met in different buildings, different places. The body of Christ has looked differently over the years. There are still some people who are like OG VFCers. I mean, like from the beginning, from the inception, including our founding pastors who happen to be my parents. And here's what's cool. You right now, as someone who is maybe a partner at VFC or just, you know, considering whether or not you'd be a partner here, you are reaping the benefits of people who came before you. Amen. People who helped develop this family, people who helped, who gave and helped you give us a facility to meet in. You're reaping those benefits. So the question is, what legacy will you leave? What are you doing for the VFCers who will come in the future that you haven't met yet? What legacy are you leaving? But I don't have time to preach that sermon. Another sermon I don't have time to preach would be church unity. Church unity. Y'all know there's more churches than VFC in this area, right? And you know what? We love them. If they're a church, if they say that Jesus is the only way to the Father, they're pals. They're sister churches. We agree with them. We are for them. We're not against them. We may not agree about everything, and that's okay. We don't have to. But in order for God to do everything he wants to do in our region, in our city, in our county, in our country, we have to all be on the same team and quit it with all this divisiveness. Amen. And rally around the essentials and rally around what really matters. And so that's important. But instead of preaching those sermons, today we're talking about church authority. Church authority. Who's in charge? Who's in charge here? Guys, let me make it very, very clear. Jesus is in charge of the church. Jesus is in charge of the church. Colossians 1:8 says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. Christ is head of the church, and the church is his body. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Jesus, when he was here in bodily form 2,000 years ago, and then after he resurrected from the dead, he ascended into heaven where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's making intercession for you, right? That's awesome. But did you know that Jesus is also still here in a way? He's here through you because you are the body of Christ. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his eyes. You are his ears. You are him active on the earth. He wants to move through you. And so you are the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. Look at this other verse. It's Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ. All right, so who's in charge?
Christ.
God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him, who? Christ, Jesus, head over all things for the benefit of the church. It is to your benefit that I'm not in charge. My job, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, is to yield to him.
Amen.
And to get his marching orders and to try to convince you guys that it's his marching orders and to move forward. But it's to your benefit. I love the way it's worded. It's for the benefit that Christ is in charge and not a singular person. Verse 23, and the church is his body. There it is again. It's made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. Do you know that's God's plan, is to fill all things everywhere with himself? You know he wants to use you to help accomplish that goal. He does. And so Jesus is in charge of his church. However, although Jesus is in charge, he uses leaders to care for his body. He uses leaders, people, to care for the body of Christ. And that's where we're really going to focus this morning, is about church authority, about how can things be done in a church family like VFC, multiple churches like in the Thomasville, Thomas County community and area. How can we honor Jesus as the head at the same time, though, like we've got to make some decisions. We've got to do some stuff, right? We've got to get things done, all these activities we talked about. And so he uses leaders to care for his body. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about these leaders, and this is often called the fivefold ministry. Some people think it's the fourfold ministry. I rewrote this sermon like three times, you guys. The original version, I spent a lot more time on this, and I feel like there's plenty of teaching on fivefold ministry out there. Instead, I wanted to focus on other things. But I want to read this passage, and I want you to see how God has organized leadership in his church. It says, now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. By the way, leaders are gifts.
That's right.
You're welcome. I'm messing with you guys. They're supposed to be. Some of y'all have been at churches where the leadership was not a gift. But these are gifts. See, Holy Spirit gives empowerment gifts, gifts of the Spirit. You can read about those in 1 Corinthians 12. The Father gives motivational gifts. You can read about those in Romans 12. And these are, the motivational gifts in Romans 12 are parts of your personality that motivate you, that help you get work done. Gifts of the Spirit are tools. They're power tools that help you minister in a way you couldn't otherwise. But these gifts that Jesus, the Son, gave to the church are people. He has given us all people. He goes, and these are the gifts. These people are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. There's the five. Now, some people say pastors and teachers are one. Okay, you can believe that. That's cool, too. Verse 12, their responsibility is to lord it over you and be in charge and make sure you know how important they are. Wait, no, that's not what it said, was it? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Do you notice what the purpose of leadership is? It's not to do the ministry. It's to equip you to do the ministry. See, every Christian is a minister, even though not every Christian is a leader.
That's right.
Every Christian is a minister. Everyone has something they're called to do. It may not be specific with our church or Sunday morning gathering. You may never be staff somewhere at a particular church fellowship. But you've got a ministry. And you're supposed to be doing some sort of ministry, helping people as you go, making disciples. But He has given us leaders to build up the church, the body of Christ. Verse 13, so how long do we have to deal with this? Well, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. All right, let me ask you a question. Is the church body fully mature? No, because I'm a part of it, and you're a part of it. So guess what we need? We need leaders. We need this fivefold ministry. We need these people who help lead the church, because I need to be poured into. Do y'all know the first thing I did when I accepted being lead pastor of VFC around 11 years ago? The first thing I did is I called two men that I respect and love, and I said, hey, I'm about to be a pastor for some reason. I know, I can't believe it either. Would you be my pastor? And they said, yes. I figured if everyone needs a pastor, I need two, right? And so that's what I did. I immediately went out and got pastors, because this leaders aren't the exception for meeting leadership. And so, now, it's just so you know, apostles, it means sent. Think of it like the foundation of a building. Prophets, the prophets see. They see and they say. And they're kind of like windows in a building. They let you see, right, what God's doing. And then you've got evangelists. Evangelists speak about Jesus to those who don't know him. They're kind of like doors. They let new people in the building, right? And you've got pastors. Pastors shepherd. They shepherd. They're kind of like the walls of a building that keep you safe and make sure that keep the critters out, right? And then lastly, the teachers, they share the word of God. They're like the roof. And so there's this, it's this almost like this building that's made up of people that creates this family, this gathering called a church, where we can do the activities he's called us to do. Do you see how that works? Jesus gave us some going away gifts when he left. He left us with his Holy Spirit. He eventually, over time, we got the written word. And then he left us with leaders who have been gifted and commissioned to help us grow spiritually. Guys, I know, and this is going to be a theme throughout the whole message this morning. I know some of you have come from churches, organizations where the leaders weren't very good leaders. Maybe they were so good that they led at the expense of your soul. And I'm sorry for that. I genuinely am. But I believe that the solution to bad leaders isn't no leaders. It's good leaders. And so I'm asking you, if you've been wounded by the church, to give it another try. The church is made up of people, and people be crazy. It's always been that way, it'll always be that way. I get it. But I want this place to be a place of healing, and I want our leadership here to be healthy. Amen? So Jesus uses leaders to care for his body. Here's some things I want you to know about leaders. Leaders are stewards. Leaders are stewards. A steward is someone who takes care of someone else's stuff. Matthew 28, 18 through 19, just the beginning of the Great Commission is what we call it. Jesus came and told his disciples, I, Jesus, have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. There's nowhere else, by the way. You're either in heaven or on earth. That's it. It's everywhere, okay? Jesus has complete authority. Therefore, in light of Jesus' authority, you go and make disciples of all the nations. You see, leaders of the church are simply stewards of Jesus' authority. It's not our own authority that we use. It's his authority that we've been commissioned with. We are taking care of his stuff for him while he's away, and we have to give account. We have to give account. And that's scary. If it's not, there is something wrong. Could you imagine if Tiff and I were going on vacation, and we said, hey, would you stay, would you house sit for us and take care of our dog for the next week? And you'd be like, sure, okay, whatever. And so we come back, and like, and there's the dog has anointed the whole house. You know what I mean? There's no food in this bowl. There's no water anywhere. But my Netflix history is, filled up, though. You've just been watching Netflix. And there's popcorn everywhere. He's ate all the food. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. You were at my, but did you take care of everything? The mail is not, it's all in the mailbox. It's overflowing. It's like, well, I was there. Well, it's not enough to just be there. You got to take care of God's stuff. And that's what leaders are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to steward his authority, and we're supposed to take care of his body. James 3:1 says this, brothers and sisters, let not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Well, that's terrifying. We who are teachers will be judged more strictly by who? By God? Yeah, because you're handling his word. And if you misrepresent him, he doesn't like that. By who? By God? Yeah, by people? Absolutely, because people expect, if you're going to teach something, you've got to have some sort of knowledge of it firsthand, right? I wouldn't go take tennis lessons from someone who'd never played tennis. I wouldn't take tennis lessons anyway, but you see what I'm saying, right? There's got to be something. It doesn't mean you've got to be perfect or no one would be qualified. But, you've got to, right, you got to kind of know, at least to some degree, there's an expectation, right, that you know what you're talking about. So stricter judgment by God? Yeah. By people? Yeah. By the devil? Oh, yeah. Because he's coming after you because he doesn't like the word of God being taught well. So, look, this isn't to scare anyone off, because if the Lord has called you to it, he will provide what you need. But, if he hadn't called you to it, you might not want to do it. Because there is a stricter judgment. And believe me, I think about that all the time. And that's, by the way, the stricter judgment. This applies to Facebook teachers, too. Ooh. Share that thing. Don't check it out. You just wanted it to be true. Teachers will be handed a stricter judgment. Be careful. Be careful. Social media is a public platform. Be careful. Amen? Ooh, y'all got all weird on me. Okay, next one. Leaders are stewards. Leaders are servants. Leaders are servants. Mark 10:42-45, Jesus called them leaders, them disciples. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Well, that sounds familiar. It was like that back then. It's like that now, right? Well, I'm in charge, and here's what's going to happen because I'm in charge, and you need to recognize I'm in charge. Okay. It's always been like that. Verse 43, but among you, disciples, leaders, Christians, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man, that's how Jesus referred to himself, even myself, Jesus would say, came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are called to serve. Christians are servants. Therefore, leaders in the church should be servants even more. Now, we don't want to be a church with what I would like to call, and I've heard called, pew warmers. Now, we don't have pews here, because those are uncomfortable. We have nice, cushy chairs. You're welcome. But your job as a part of the VFC church family is not to just receive. It's to serve. And a lot of you think, well, you know, Jamie, I get it, but I'm new here, and I'm still trying to figure out this whole God thing. Look, are you following Jesus? Have you made the decision to follow Jesus? Don't wait until you get your life together to serve, because serving is how you get your life together. Amen. That's what will train you. That's what will mature you. So get involved. Well, I don't know what I can do. You can help us park cars. And see, when I bring that up, okay, now I know what I can do. Never mind. I'll figure it out. No one wants to help park cars, right? I get it. But serving is how you get your life together, and leaders are servants. Here's another one. You know this one. Leaders are imperfect and incomplete. Leaders are imperfect and incomplete. I love this verse. Paul is writing Timothy, who's a young pastor in Ephesus, and he's pouring everything he's got. If you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you are reading letters from a mentor to his mentee about how to do ministry. And he says this, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience. I love that. I want to live my life in a way that I give you the opportunity to practice patience. He goes, I'm an example of God's great patience. He goes, a great example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Guys, the fact that God uses people to get the work of the ministry done isn't because those people are great. It's because he is great. Amen. It isn't because of their ability. It's because of his ability. Not because of their power, it's because of his power. And Paul's like, look, I'm just a dude who made a lot of mistakes and I'm called. I need to let you guys know, as the lead pastor of VFC, I'm just a dude who was called to lead this fellowship. I did not score highest on the Jesus test. All right? Now, I study the word. I know I have a clear conscience. But I need you to, if you are looking for perfection from me, you're at the wrong place. Amen. I even called Miss Teresa when she gave a word. I called her by her wrong last name. She's Teresa Wheeler now. Hey, don't leave the church over that. She wouldn't do that anyway. But you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm just a guy. Now I'm called, and I'm anointed to do what he's called me to do. But like, it's not my power. I don't know how to do the things he's asked me to do, and he's doing here at VFC. I don't know how to do that, but I do know how to say yes, sir. And that's what we do. Now, saying leaders are imperfect is not an excuse for church abuse.
That's right.
It's not an excuse. It's a phrase I like to use. Good people and bad systems do bad things. And so, again, many of you have come from backgrounds where maybe a good pastor or elder team or deacons or whatever, they meant well, but they were in a bad system and they did bad things. And again, for that, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. But they're just people. They're incomplete. They're imperfect. Don't ever try to get from a leader what you can only get from the Lord.
Amen.
You'll be disappointed every time. Every single time. We don't follow people, we follow Jesus. Amen? Amen? All right, here's another thing I need you to know. Some church leaders are bad leaders. Let's just go there for a little bit, okay? Some church leaders are bad leaders. This is the way it has been, the way it will be. There's always the potential that there's someone in leadership is a bad egg. All right? Look at this verse. This is terrifying. This is Jeremiah chapter 23. The Lord is really, he's using Jeremiah to really give the leaders in Israel a hard time. He's talked to the kings already. He's about to talk to the pastors, and he's about to talk to the prophets as well. And he's just really giving them a hard time. And this is what he says to the pastors. What sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds or pastors. By the way, if you ever see the word shepherd in the Bible, pastor, same word, interchangeable. Okay? So, what sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the pastors of my church, you could say. For they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for, says the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to these shepherds and pastors. Instead of caring for my flock and leading them to safety, you have deserted them and driven them into destruction. Now I will pour out judgment on you for the evil you have done to them. Wow, that's intense. Why is he so mad? Because God is furiously in love with his sheep. with his people, with his church, with his followers. And far be it from me or any other leader to ever think that leading people is about us. It's not. It's about him. There are some, there's a parable that Jesus tells about this farmer who grows wheat, and in the middle of the night, someone comes and plants weeds all in the wheat. It's called the parable of the tares in the wheat. And a lot of the parables we're left to kind of ascertain and figure out what Jesus was trying to say. This one, he, like word for word, he explains what it means. And he goes, look, the enemy, the devil, is sowing false wheat or false Christians or even false leaders. And the reason why Jesus doesn't pluck them up immediately is because it would cause irreparable harm to the wheat. So the weeds and the wheat grow together. And at the end of time, then there's the separation, the sheep from the goats, right? Then there's where God makes things right. So you need to understand that Jesus himself said, you know what, at church, there's going to be some weeds, right? And so make sure you're not a weed. Make sure you're wheat. Make sure that you have been planted by the Lord, right? And so there are imposters. Most hurt in a church is caused by imperfection and immaturity. It's caused from us rubbing each other the wrong way, but there are imposters as well. Let me let you know how to know if you're dealing with an imposter or not. Leaders, pastors who have unquestioned authority, exert control over you, require you to get their permission for stuff, practice elitism. We're the only ones that have it right. Utilize shunning to punish people. Well, we're not talking to you. Yeah, we see you going down the grocery store aisle. Well, we're going to go the other way. That's shunning. That's what cults do. They are engaging in spiritual abuse. Amen. Spiritual abuse.
Right.
Again, if you've been a part of that, I'm so sorry. I'm glad you're not a part of that anymore. And if you're partially a part of that, maybe you go to other churches, maybe you're watching online, the only solution to a spiritual abuser is to run.
Amen.
There's no, you can't be good enough. Oh, but if they'll just see how faithful I am in serving, they'll stop yelling at me. That's codependency. If you are in an abusive pastoral situation, run, don't look back. Amen?
Amen?
But also, there are bad leaders. But also, at the same time, leaders are necessary. Leaders are necessary. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. And they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. I love this. The writer of Hebrews, we're not totally sure who the writer of Hebrews is. We have some ideas. It's probably one of three people. But whoever wrote it, they're like, look, there are people who've been called to shepherd you, to pastor you, to look out, to teach you, right, and to train you. Don't make it unnecessarily hard. I agree with that. Amen. Amen. Guys, we all need shepherds. We all need pastors. We all need leaders. And let me show you why through this quick video. There he goes. Right back into the place he came from. And there's the slow-mo. Boom! See, leaders are necessary. Scripture says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. There actually, you can look this up. Go to YouTube this afternoon and look at sheep who've fallen the same. There's more than videos like this. There are multiples. Where they get pulled out and they go right back in, right? Guys, sheep need a shepherd. Leaders are necessary, and we can't excuse Lone Ranger Christianity where you're all by yourself. I don't need a pastor. Scripture says you do. And we can't use bad leaders and bad pastors as an excuse to not have one. Because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Paul is talking to the leaders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He's about to leave. He knows he's never going to see them again. It's towards the end of his life. He says, guard yourselves. He's talking to the leaders. So guard yourselves guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and pastor or shepherd God's flock or church. His church purchased with his own blood. That's a callback to remember who owns this. Remembers whose this is, okay? So feed and shepherd his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. Why? This is so important. Verse 29, I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth. Why? In order to draw a following.
Wow.
I mean, that's exactly what we see. We see people who maybe are gifted speakers, but they don't have the character to sustain their gift. And they end up leading people into a ditch instead of pulling them out of a ditch because they like how it makes them feel. And so Paul is talking to the Ephesian leaders. He's like, look, be ready. This is real, and it's going to happen. And guys, because of that, leaders are necessary. I want to end with this. Guys, it's time for us to get healed from church hurt.
Amen.
I know there, every single one of you, every single one of you here in the room, every single one of you watching online, every single one of you has some sort of story where some leader in a church, a pastor or a deacon or an elder or whatever title they're giving out these days, has done something harmful and hurtful to you. I know. It's happened to me too. And it's painful. The Lord told me years ago, I remember exactly where I was, I would pray and circle the sanctuary in our, what we call the Legacy Chapel now. And I remember clearly the Lord out of the blue spoke to me. It was just a thought. I didn't hear his audible voice, but it was his thought, not mine. He goes, I'm going to start sending people to VFC that have been wounded by the church. I'd love to tell you that made me excited. But I know what church hurt does. And it does one of two things. It either creates someone who's incredibly touchy and everything is wrong and they're hypercritical, or it creates someone who's incredibly passive and doesn't do anything and they just check out. Both of which are very hard to motivate to service. Just being honest. But I felt the heart of God when he said that so many years ago. And many of you, maybe you didn't know it, but the Lord led you here because this is a place of healing.
Amen.
We are not perfect. We don't even come close to perfect. But I'll tell you what we are. We're a loving family.
Amen.
I can't promise you that people won't say something stupid. We have people at this church too. I can't promise you that I will say the right thing all the time. I might call you by the wrong last name. But I can promise you that to the best of our ability, our leadership, our elders, trustees, ministry team leaders, pastors, our staff are committed to being a place of healing. We recognize that church gets messy, and we're willing to live in the mess. One of my favorite verses, Proverbs 14:4, it says, without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. What's he saying? He's like, okay, you've got a job to do, and you need workers. but the workers make a mess. So if your goal is a clean stable, you will actually get rid of the very thing you need in order to embrace the cleanliness, but you're not doing your job, which is bringing in the harvest. So guys, I get it. I refuse to promise you everything is going to go right here at VFC. Sorry, can't do it. We're going to try. We're going to do our best. Our executive leadership, in 11 years of me being lead pastor, we've had a disagreement once. Between the pastors, the elders, and the trustees, we all got into a room. We had lunch. See, because that's part of what a church does is eat. Remember that one? We all calmly shared what we were thinking about the situation. We all prayed. The presence of the Lord came into the room, and we got into 100% agreement. One time in 11 years. Because we are committed. We're committed to unity, and we're committed for the sake of the sheep. To get over ourselves. Guys, church, this gathering of saints, this intentional gathering that has activities and is leaving a legacy and has a weird history, but is fighting for unity. And yes, has authority. This church is God's plan A for bringing the kingdom to earth. There's no plan B. It's the church. That's the way he does it. Don't worry about the hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? It's someone who says they're one thing and does another. I think every single one of us qualifies.
Right.
As saying, yeah, I'm following Jesus, but I also just did that thing I shouldn't have done. Right? So don't worry about the hypocrites. Just join us. Just join us. In hospitals, you'll find sick people. At gyms, you'll find out of shape people. Come join us. Could you imagine going into a gym and like, man, everyone is, they're not in shape. What are they doing here? It's a gym. They're where they're supposed to be. We are not all where we're supposed to be spiritually. We need help spiritually. Thank you for being here. This is where you get healed. This is where you get taught and trained and encouraged and built up. God lives among the mess. So should we. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Are you embracing church authority? I know some of you hear that question, you're like, what do you mean authority, Jamie? Are you trying to? I'm not trying. I'm just asking you what the Bible's asking you. Are you embracing church authority? Are you recognizing? Some of you are called to be leaders and you're sitting on the sidelines. Some of you are called to be humble and serve in the background and you're trying to get on the stage. Come on, it's not about you. It's about him. And it's about the other people that we're trying to reach. It's about the harvest that is ripe. The fields that are white. Come on, let's embrace God's plan of church authority. Not to abuse people, but to help people. Close your eyes for a moment. If you would ask the Holy Spirit the question I just asked you, how am I doing with church authority? Lord, is there rebellion in my heart? Is it because of pride? Or is it because of hurt? Lord, do I distrust anyone in leadership? The Lord wants to heal your heart this morning. He wants to bring freedom to your heart. So I'd love to lead you in a prayer with everyone just head bowed, eyes closed, thinking about yourself, thinking about your own walk with the Lord. If you would, I'd be honored to give you this prayer to pray. Just repeat it after me. Say, Father, I know you've called me to be a part of your church. But Lord, I don't always get along with everyone here. including leaders. So I release the pain. I release the disappointment. I release the discouragement. And I ask your spirit to come take its place and give me peace and joy and perspective and understanding. Help me to gather together with your church family and help me be a light. Lord, I pray for my leaders. I pray, God, you would speak through them. And Lord, I pray that you would do in me whatever you want to do. I'll serve how you want to. I'll do what you want to, because I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So good, so good.
Thanks for listening to the VFC podcast. If you live in the Thomasville area, we would love for you to connect with us in person. For more information about our weekly gatherings, including service times and directions, you can visit us at vfcthomasville.org.